Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Stephen Grused is the head of of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs. Good morning to you. How are you?
Hi, Howard. I'm great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing well. So we, of course, are keeping a very, very close eye on what is happening between Russia and the Ukraine. And it's kind of weird because we seem to be hearing stories of Russia stepping back a little bit. But are they likely to let this go? I mean, they've been obsessed with Ukraine for more than just the last couple of months.
Absolutely. There's a long historical ties between the two people. In fact, last year, Putin himself wrote, or had somebody write on his behalf, that said he wrote a long history of the intertwining of the Russian and Ukrainian people, basically saying that they descended from the same ancestor and therefore are actually one people, whereas most Ukrainian nationalists will tell you, no, it's a different language, it's a different culture. But yes, I mean, you know, this has been brewing since the end of the Cold War. As we know, the Soviet Union disappeared after the Cold War, and all the Baltic states and many of the former Soviet republics became independent countries, and that was a big blow for Russia. And Russia has sought to assert control over its, what it calls its near abroad, basically the former Soviet states. So we saw intervention in Georgia in 2008. Of course, the annexation of Crimea in 2014 and a low-level conflict in the east of Ukraine ever since then. And yes, it's escalated this by massing, by some reports, about 130,000 troops on the Ukrainian border, insisting that Ukraine must never be allowed to join NATO. Ukraine must never be allowed to join the European Union.
So how then does it get resolved? If Ukraine says, all right, fine, we'll step away from NATO, is this likely to end it? I can't imagine so.
No, and I think, you know, Ukraine has been very determined that it is a sovereign country and it will decide its own alliances. The West, I don't think, will tolerate Ukraine being dictated to or invaded like this. Whether they're going to respond militarily, who knows? There's been a flurry of diplomatic activity over the last couple of weeks. Biden and Putin have spoken. Emmanuel Macron from France has gone to Russia. So has the German Chancellor. The British have been involved. Everybody's trying to find a way to resolve this. But it's a situation that Russia created in the first instance.
Yeah, well, there's absolutely no doubt about it. How do you think that the Ukrainian president has handled it? I was looking at an article earlier today where they portrayed him as being quite relaxed about this. But I just don't know what is, what is a media stance on it versus reality.
I think there has been, I mean, you know, also Putin has accused the Western media of creating hysteria and saying there's going to be an invasion. And only really he's going to decide whether there is or not. I think the Ukrainian president has tried to calm his people down. And, you know, the fact that he's been dealing with Russian troops in the east of the country since 2014, along with Russian-speaking Ukrainians, who some of whom are separatists. But, you know, I think he's a small power in a big game. I mean, when the talks were first mooted, Putin would only talk to Biden. He wasn't really interested in talking to President Zelensky. So,
which says it all.
He was a television comedian that unexpectedly won the Ukrainian elections a couple of years ago. So he's, you know, also untested in this kind of situation.
Somebody I spoke to earlier, and unfortunately it was a terrible line, so I couldn't really understand it properly, said this whole thing is not about Russia-Ukraine, but about the United States and China, and I can't even tell you why he said so, because the line was good. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely tied up in the new geopolitics of the world. You know, for a while after the Cold War, there was a stable system in a way that coalesced around the U.S., but even before the election of Donald Trump, it was clear that the U.S. was in decline, that China was rising. China and Russia are very close politically and ideologically. There's a grand battle. Some have even called it a new Cold War evolving on the geopolitical level, where China is seeking to unseat America as the unquestioned superpower. Russia very much says that it wants a multipolar world, a world where it's not just one superpower, but several powers to balance, etc. So, yeah, you know, you can't divorce this. And I think, you know, us at the southern tip of Africa, we're going to feel any conflict that might happen. Ukraine is a big exporter of grains and cereals, including to South Africa. Who knows what's going to happen to the rand? You know, if there's war, global stock markets will probably go down and we will follow. There's food security issues, as I've said. There's political, diplomatic issues. You know, South Africa has been very quiet about Ukraine, and that may be partly a spark to the fact that it's got growing ties with Russia.
Yeah, which is always a worry as well, because South Africa somehow never fails to choose the dubious partner.
To back the wrong horse, yeah, so to say.
Yeah. So do you think that this is just around posturing? Or do you think that there really is an intention or was an intention for Russia to invade Ukraine?
You know, if it was a few naval exercises here and there, one could say it was posturing. But, you know, 130,000 troops is significant. Also using the territory of Belarus which is very close to Moscow,
sure,
politically, as a staging ground is now encircling Ukraine on three sides. You know, and we know that Putin will go to war. He went to war in 2008 in Georgia. He went to war in 2014 in the Crimea and in eastern Ukraine. So, you know, he certainly can. I read an interesting piece asking, you know, whether he's a rational, calculating, shrewd, Machiavellian figure or a madman, and you know, we will see in the next few weeks which one of those is there. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of diplomatic posturing and trying to get concessions on this particular subject. But I think, you know, people have said we're closer to a major war in Europe than we've been since 1945. If you don't count the war in the Baltic.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, there's a lot of talk as well, and Paul asking this question about the Nord Stream gas line. How does that play into it?
Yeah, so Russia is a major supplier of gas, natural gas, to Europe. And in previous years, it has turned off the spigot and has put up prices and has used gas as a weapon, so to speak. The Nord Stream pipeline is a new pipeline that runs through Ukraine into Germany, and Biden has said that it's not quite operational, in my understanding, yet. Biden has said, you know, that would be part of the sanctions package to stop this. And, you know, then one wonders how much Europe is prepared to stick with America, who's been fairly tough on Russia on this. When things are freezing cold and they depend on gas for heating that's going to come from Russia. So the geopolitics of energy is also fascinating.